always thought-provoking and informative. Forget the spin and media bias from the left and right. We know you are sick and tired of being told what to think, how to act, and what you can and can't do. Direct from the Ustream It Broadcast Network, it's time for another edition of the Last Christian Newscast and Radio Show with your hosts, J.D. Williams and T.L. Farley. Real news and biblical common sense analysis starts in 3, 2, 1.
Well, hello, everybody, and thank you so much for joining us for another edition of the Last Christian Newscast and Radio Show. My name is J.D. Williams here in beautiful East Texas, joined by my co-host, my brother in Christ, there in the Dallas and Fort Worth area, Mr. T.L. Terry Farley. And Terry, say hello real quick, but we got a lot of ground to cover today, and I'm going to tell everybody what's coming right after you speak.
Hello, quick.
Okay, here's the deal. We are going to conclude this presentation that has taken us the last couple of shows. It's the third show where we've been talking about the possibility of Israel destroying Damascus. I made it clear last time that I felt that that was going to be the case. But anyway, that was just a guess. It's not a prophecy. Okay. Now, we are going to continue or conclude our discussion about the fulfillment here of Isaiah 17 prophecy and the battle that we believe is the Northern War, or at least I believe. I can't say for Terry. Great Northern War that I believe is coming to pass right in front of our eyes due to the number of countries that are exactly where they're supposed to be according to the Bible, the affiliations that they are coming together. A lot of these countries have not gotten along, and now all of a sudden they're becoming friends. I believe that this is coming very quickly. Terry, I'll let you comment on it, and then we're going to clarify something from the last show, and then we're going to move. So go ahead.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on in terms of, you know, I would like to get back in there and study that a whole lot more. We're getting more and more information the closer we get. So I'm just going to stay where I am at the point. I think what you're projecting is as good as anything else at this point. But anyway, folks, get into the Bible, study. It is fun.
Yeah, it is. And I'm going to encourage people to get their Bible. You know, if you've got one, grab it, because we're going to be giving you exact location of Scripture, and you can follow along with us, or you can study after the show is over. I'm going to get a couple of things out of the way, and that is I'm going to give you some news, and I'm also going to let Terry have 4 minutes to do what will now be 4 minutes with Terry instead of 2 minutes in the first and 2 minutes in the second. And then we are going to go, and we're going to go hard. We're going to go fast. I'm going to warn Terry in advance not to get upset if I say, that's it. That's all the time that you get on that particular thing. We're going to move on, because we've got to go really quickly. So, Terry, don't get your feelings hurt if I say, that's, you know, I'm sorry, but I got to cut you off. So
rock and roll, dude.
All right. Anyway, I want to begin with, as I said, some news. And this is the mainstream media, and we're going to concentrate a little bit on fake news. Let's listen to this real quick.
The top Republican in the U.S. House of Representatives said on Thursday he did not promise Donald Trump that he would pass a measure aimed at expunging the former president's 2 impeachments.
There's no deal, House Speaker Kevin McCarthy told NBC following a report by the Politico news outlet that he had made such an agreement with Trump, the current frontrunner for his party's 2024 presidential nomination. A Trump representative did not immediately respond to a request for comment. Davis Richards reporting.
Fake news reporting coming out. I'm going to guess, this is simply a guess, it's not a fact. I'm going to guess this came from either MSNBC, CNN, or the New York Times, because it was a completely fake report. It's simply trying to get Democrats back up. That's all it is. It was fake. It didn't happen. There's no promise made to the former president. Okay, let's continue on. We'll listen to this one.
The United States has voiced concern over a U.S. soldier who crossed into North Korea, as Pyongyang remains silent on the matter. Rebecca Bunden reports.
It has been more than 2 days since Private Travis King crossed the border into North Korea from South Korea, and US officials say they have been unable to reach Pyongyang, although it has been making efforts to try to make contact, including through UN communications channels. The US has expressed worries about the soldier. A US college student who was imprisoned in North Korea was sent back to the US in 2017 in a coma and died shortly after his return. King had been due to return to the United States from South Korea to face disciplinary action, but instead he joined a tour and went across the border. Rebecca Bunden, Tokyo.
Fake news. Okay, she said you joined a tour. Okay, well, I got another report on this one, and then I'm going to tell you what really happened because I've done the research and now I know.
North Korea wasn't responding Thursday to U.S. attempts to discuss the American soldier who bolted across the heavily armed border and whose prospects for a quick release are unclear at the time of the high military tensions and inactive communication channels.
Private Travis King, who was supposed to have been heading to Fort Bliss, Texas, after finishing a prison sentence in South Korea for assault, ran into North Korea while on a civilian tour of the border village of Panmunjom on Tuesday. He is the first known American held in North Korea in nearly 5 years. Harry Michaels reporting.
Okay, again, a lot of fake. Okay, here's what really happened. This guy was convicted of assault in South Korea, and he was released. However, he was released to be sent back here to the United States, coming to Texas, where there would be further punishment. You know, or disciplinary action, whatever you want to call it. Okay, they picked him up at the jail or whatever the facility is there, and they drove him to the airport. Now, once they got to the airport, they opened the door, they let him out, and they said, okay, you need to check in over there, and they left. That's what really happened, okay?
Wow.
So when he walked inside the airport, the escorts that should have taken him all the way to the gate, they were gone. So he just turned around, walked back out of the airport, and then ran across the border. And I also have other reports that state that he may have already been in touch with North Korean officials. That's the reason North Korea is not commenting on this at all, because they're getting a lot of information from this man. Okay, so this isn't a captured individual. This is somebody who voluntarily went across knowingly and for a purpose. That's the truth, and that's what the mainstream media is not going to tell you. Okay, next news report. Let's listen to this one.
With FSN Spotlight, I'm Simon Marks. Whatever happened to Yevgeny Prigozhin and the Wagner Group? A month ago, they were about to mutiny against Vladimir Putin and sparked events that were seen at the time as the biggest threat ever to the Russian leader's rule. But there is still no clarity over the background to their uprising, the extent to which Putin compromised in order to head it off, the whereabouts of the mercenaries' leader, Mr. Prigozhin, or whether the Kremlin might seek to assassinate him. And this week came reports of a purge of some generals in the Russian army, allegedly supportive of the mercenaries.
This is further intriguing. I mean, Putin would obviously have to clean up if there genuinely are people who were on Prigozhin's side.
Carla Ann Robbins is with America's Council on Foreign Relations.
You just don't know how much of this is his paranoia. We know that he's incredibly cut off from, you know, the general public, from reality, whatever. I mean, clearly miscalculated in the first place with this war, and clearly is doing a very bad job of running the war. So he becomes more and more isolated and has to reach further and further down in the ranks as he cuts off from the generals. This is not going well for him. He has to prove his strength, and by asserting his power, I think he weakens his military force.
And yet, Vladimir Putin is still in power, which less than a month ago many analysts believed might by now be in doubt. With FSN Spotlight, I'm Simon Marks.
Okay, now the truth on this report is that this Prigozhin actually headed his troops toward Moscow, and basically they were trying to test out how they were going to attack particular cities. This was not a revolt. This was something that was planned between he and President Putin. Now, the mainstream media is not going to tell you that, but here's the deal. They have been dispersed to Belarus. Now, the reason that they've been dispersed to Belarus is because there is a section of land, and let me see if I can find it here on my maps here, and it doesn't look like I loaded it this time. Let me see. Yeah, maybe this is it. Let me pull this up real quick and see if this isn't the right one. Okay, you look down there. And by the way, if you're not getting this in visual form, go to www.lastchristian.net. That's www.lastchristian.net. You can get it in video form there. Now, for those of you that are seeing it, you can see the Suwalki Gap. Now, that is a disputed area that and you can see it's accessible from Belarus. Lithuania, it's not an area that they're going to go through. Okay, that's a NATO-controlled areas. But they can get to it through Belarus. And if they cut off that particular gap there, then they have direct access to Poland. And if the NATO forces want to move on them in that gap, then that's an act of war. That's a disputed area, so there can't be any fighting within that area. But now Russia has direct access to Poland. And the deal is that they believe, many of the news reporting from that area believe that that's exactly what they have in mind to do. Go in there, take that over. That way they got direct access into Poland. Okay, now here's the report that NATO Military Alliance member Poland is reinforcing its border with Belarus, where Russia's Wagner mercenary force has taken up residency. Belarus has said that the Wagner fighters are training its troops near the Polish border, while residents in Poland close to the border are reportedly hearing shooting and helicopters. Russian President Vladimir Putin said it was Poland that had territorial ambitions in the region, telling Russia's Security Council that Moscow would react to any aggression against Belarus with all the means at our disposal. And yes, that includes tactical nuclear weapons that I told you 6, 7, 8 months ago they were going to use. Terry, you got any comments?
Yeah, well, there's that turnaround we were talking about. Could be. Yeah. But I just want to say, I think you've got it nailed. I can't get arrested. I don't want to get arrested. So I'm not going to tell you why I believe that. But I think you're right on track.
Okay. All right. Now, the Terry, I'm going to give you 2 or 4 minutes right now. Okay. Huh. So go ahead and get everything together as quickly as you can there, and we'll go ahead and get you going. Just a really quick reminder that the Last Christian Newscast and Radio Show is proud to partner with a great educational program for youth based on solid Christian principles and values. Now, as a parent concerned about what your children are exposed to and learning in public schools, you will appreciate the opportunity to learn about Kirkwood's Christian Online Learning Program that will keep your kids engaged and learning, all without worrying about the type of curriculum being presented to them. It only takes a few minutes to set up the program, and your kids can begin working independently on any device, including desktop computers, laptops, tablets, iPads, even smartphones. Now, you can learn more about this program on the Last Christian website at www.lastchristian.net. That's www.lastchristian.net for all of the free information on Kirkwood's homeschool learning program for kids. And hey, get this, the whole program, well, it only costs you about $1 a day. It doesn't get better than that. Visit us at www.lastchristian.net. That's www.lastchristian.net and receive your information all about Kirkwood's homeschooling learning program for kids. Okay, Terry, and with that, sir, you are up right now.
The Last Christian Charge, engaging the sword. And don't forget, folks, homeschooling works. Years ago, working in a meat market one morning, what we used to call in my childhood a butcher shop, Homer, the manager, called for coffee. The pace slowed, giving us time to take a breath and visit for a few minutes. Someone began to speak of the quiet, thanking God. Another picked up the thought and praise the Lord in unison. The conversation continued to flow as around the small shop, sipping hot coffee one by one, others joined in with their own thanks. Finally, I was left as the last person to speak. The place of having the honor to close our dialogue lay heavy on me. My serving the Lord was plainly known and often referred to from various perspectives, considering the time, place, and person. Striving to find that appropriate closing word, a word that would cultivate this camaraderie, I found myself thanking the Lord for repentance, that we always had the place to return to Him, no matter the situation or condition of our lives. Curiously, internet pages dedicated to social media often include arguments against repentance. One perspective that is stridently voiced is that repentance is outmoded, unnecessary, a finished work of the cross. Undoubtedly, all sin was paid for on the cross with Jesus' blood, underscored with his final word, tetelestai, a Greek word stamped on the bill of sale in marketplaces to prove the payer had paid their debt. The English translation for tetelestai, it is paid for. Thus, Christians rejoice in the blood of Jesus, as many songs declare in verses of repentance. But what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. The old gospel song goes, someone slipped and fell. Was that someone you? It is no secret what God can do. Jesus will pardon you. Some protest repentance is unnecessary because Jesus paid all sin debt on the cross. My first pastor used to reply, if you want to know what's in a man's heart, hit him in the leg with a 2x4. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Maranatha, Lord Jesus, come quickly.
All right. Excellent, 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 as always, Terry. Thank you so much. I'm going to give y'all one more piece of news, and then I promise you, from now on, it's going to be nothing but what we're here to talk about, okay? And that is that Russia has been, over the past several days, pounding the Ukraine's grain facilities. Remember, they are now, they have stopped all of the transit in the Black Sea there to where Ukraine cannot ship out grain. Well, neither can Russia. But anyway, according to the United Nations Security Council, some will go hungry, some will starve, many will die as a result of these decisions. Russia has said the Black Sea fleet has been firing rockets at floating targets, and it would deem all ships heading for Ukraine waters to be potentially carrying arms. Kyiv responded with a similar warning about ships headed to Russia. So I would suggest if you happen to be a sailor and they're telling you that you're going to be going to the Black Sea, that you call in sick that day, because chances are you ain't going to make it. Okay. One way or another, both sides are equally involved here. Okay. With that, we're not going to be talking about any other news today, except the fact we're going to be talking about Israel and this Damascus, the destruction of Damascus that is called on in Isaiah chapter 17. And Terry, I'm going to begin by going back just for a second, okay? And this has to do with a comment that you made about, let's see here, it's called the Valley of Rephaim. And I think you had a different pronunciation or correct.
Rephaim, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you'd wondered, you know, what that referred to. You know, that was always a good thing to do with the Bible, is go back and reference things, right?
If you don't know, ask.
Yeah, so I went back, okay, and looked at it. Mm-hmm. And this is it's actually, I've got a picture here that I'm going to put up on screen. This is a rail system that actually runs through this area. It runs through the entire length and depth of the thing, okay? This valley of Rephaim, however you want to pronounce the thing.
Sure,
Is it's referenced, believe it or not, as far back as Joshua 15:8, Joshua 18:16. Don't have time to read all these, okay? Mm-hmm. It's a valley descending southwest from Jerusalem to the Nahasarik. It's an ancient route from the coastal plain to the Judean hills. And here's the kicker. At least this is what caught my attention. Maybe you got a different, but anyway, it says it was probably named after the legendary race of giants. And, you know, giants is referenced back in, what is it, Genesis? I believe Genesis 6?
Yeah. Yes, yeah.
Okay, yeah. But for those of you that are keeping up with the show, if you're frequent listening to us, that's where we're going next. After today's show, we're going to Genesis. Mm-hmm. We're going to go to Genesis 6. Mm-hmm. Doesn't Daniel wish he was with us right now? Anyway, we're going to go to Genesis 6 for the next few shows and show you what the Bible is talking about. You've got to remember that Jesus said, just as in the days of Noah, so would the return of Son of Man be. So we're going to talk about that and get into it deeply. But let me put this one here real quick. I'll throw it up on screen. This is Matthew chapter 24, verses 36 through 39. Terry, if you'd be so kind as to read that.
But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be.
Okay. Now, it's important, I think, to mention something here, that during this time, it had never rained on the earth before. That, according to the Bible, I'm not making that up. This is something that is in the Bible. It never rained before. And so you've got Noah, who's out there building a boat. Now, think about that. Let's say that you live in, you know, New Mexico. I'm just pulling a state out of the, or Arizona, or, you know, I don't know.
Or Texas.
Yeah. Pick any landlocked state. Okay. Mm-hmm. Any landlocked state that doesn't have any, you know, big lakes or anything like that, or, you know, something that's big enough to build a huge boat like what Noah was instructed to build. And imagine all the people that are laughing at you. It's never rained before. What the heck are you building a boat for, especially one that's the size of a battleship, you know? So anyway, just like that, you know, people are going to scoff at Christians like us who are saying, be ready, the rapture's coming, you know, and we keep warning you, there has got to be a last in everything. You know, there's a last play in every football game. There's a last in everything. There's got to be that last individual to accept Jesus Christ before the rapture of the church. Now, you can be saved after the rapture. Yes, absolutely. But you've got to go through at least a portion of the 7 years of tribulation. Those of us who have accepted Jesus Christ, who have proclaimed him as our Savior, who have put their faith in him, will be raptured, will be taken out of the way before God unleashes his wrath. So if you have not done that yet, you simply have to pray a quick prayer of salvation. Just say, Lord, I know Jesus died for me. I know that he spent 3 days in the tomb. I know he rose from the dead. I know he's sitting at your right hand, and I know he's coming back for his church. And I promise to follow you all the rest of my life in the name of Jesus Christ. If you're the last Christian, you'll see me and Terry, and you'll see Jesus Christ immediately. If not, then, you know, we'll be there eventually, trust me, because there is going to be that last Christian before the rapture. Terry, I'm going to give you a second because I rambled there for a minute. We've only got a few minutes left in the first half, so keep it brief, but I do want you to speak on that.
Yeah, we can't speak on everything, but just to throw in a sidelight, what Joel was saying when he says it never rained and it never did, what the Bible explains is there was a mist that would come up from the ground and water the plants. So it wasn't like they were in a desert. Everything was green and flush and plush and all of that. But it was because the water was not coming down. The water was coming up in a mist and watering everything. I just wanted to throw that as a side.
Well, it's important information. It's something that people do need to know about. That is for sure. Let me see here. I'm just going through my slides real quick, make sure we get everything that we're supposed to get covered here. Now, we're going to take up, and again, this is going to carry over to the second half of the show. There's no more news, guys. There's no more, no more breaking news. Everything now is going to be biblical. So I want y'all to follow along with us from now on. Again, I encourage you to grab your Bible if you got one and follow us on down the line here. But I'm going to start with this right here. Now, remember, because of a moment, and I guess I should have started with a slide earlier, Israel's enemies will see an opportunity to invade. Now, this is covered in Isaiah 17, 12 through 14. And their goal, of course, the same goal that they've preached for years now, is the annihilation of Israel. If you go and you look at what they're doing in the Middle East right now, with many of these different countries, what they are saying is Israel's got no right to exist. We do not recognize their right to exist. So keep in mind that's going on right now. You know, you can even follow the mainstream media. You can follow AOC and the Squad in Washington because they believe the same thing. Okay, now Isaiah says that Israel will live in terror as enemy invaders approach, but by morning all the invaders are dead. Now, that's Isaiah 17, 14. Now, the invasion is described in Isaiah 17 closely resembles the war outlined in Psalm 83, which we went over a few shows ago. And in this conflict, Israel's enemies plot to wipe out Israel as a nation. That's according to Psalm 83, 4. Real quick comment on that, Terry.
My goodness, it's just so exciting to consider these things, because we're watching all of this beginning to take place with all of the enemies surrounding Israel. You've described the quarter of a million rockets that surround Israel and will blast away every inch of Israel.
Right.
That's how serious it is, folks. This is not some game. This is, and it's coming to pass.
Amen. Right. Okay. Now, again, looking at the slide here, you see there in the first paragraph, I've got Isaiah 17, verses 12 through 14 highlighted there.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to put that up on screen for everybody to see now. Okay. This is Isaiah 17, 12 through 14. Terry, we got 1 minute. Go.
Woe to the many nations that rage. They rage like the raging sea. Woe to the peoples who roar. They roar like the roaring of a great water. Although the peoples roar like the roar of surging waters, when he rebukes them, they flee far away, driven before the wind like chaff on the hills, like tumbleweed before a gale. In the evening, sudden terror. Before the morning, they are gone. This is the portion of those who loot us, the lot of those who plunder us.
Okay. Now then, we have reached the end of the first half of this show. But we're going to continue this, and again, no more normal news, okay? This is going to be strictly scripture, and we're going to be talking about this for the remainder of the show. So hang in there with us, and we'll be back after the break with the second half of the Last Christian Newscast and Radio Show. I believe that you're going to find this, very, very informative for sure, and it's something you're not going to hear anywhere else. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Revelation Radio, part of the Ustreamit Broadcast Network.
They are our cuddlers and co-workers, purr machines and love bugs, and constant companions. They are our pets, our family, and they make life so much better. When we face unexpected challenges in life, so do our pets. That's why we're on a mission to support people who love their pets and the pets who love their people, ensuring these families stay exactly where they belong, together. And you have something to offer. With an open heart and mind, there's nothing you can't do. There's no gesture too small or too big when it comes to helping. Whether donating a bag of kibble, sharing an Instagram post of a lost cat, or welcoming a foster pet into your home, every bit of kindness counts. You can help keep pets and people together. Visit petsandpeopletogether.org to learn how to be a helper in your community. This has been a public service announcement brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Just a really quick reminder that The Last Christian Newscast and Radio Show is proud to partner with a great educational program for youth based on solid Christian principles and values. Now, as a parent concerned about what your children are exposed to and learning in public schools, you will appreciate the opportunity to learn about Kirkwood's Christian Online Learning Program that will keep your kids engaged and learning, all without worrying about the type of curriculum being presented to them. It only takes a few minutes to set up the program, and your kids can begin working independently on any device, including desktop computers, laptops, tablets, iPads, even smartphones. Now, you can learn more about this program on the Last Christian website at www.lastchristian.net. That's www.lastchristian.net for all of the free information on Kirkwood's homeschool learning program for kids. And hey, get this, the whole program, well, it only costs you about a dollar a day. It doesn't get better than that. Visit us at www.lastchristian.net. That's www.lastchristian.net and receive your information all about Kirkwood's homeschooling learning program for kids.
What is dedication?
My daughter started making necklaces. She makes what we call affirmation fashion. I tell her every day that your black is beautiful. Your black is beautiful. And if there's anything better than being beautiful, it's being smart. If there's anything better than being smart, it's being kind. And reaffirming that every day is our method of making sure her chin never drops. My dad wasn't around, and I remember riding a bike and falling off and cutting myself, and me never just wanting to get back on it. People ask, how your children learn how to ride a bike, and you didn't. I didn't teach them. I just created an environment where they taught themselves, and all I had to do was be there.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
And welcome back to the second half of the Last Christian Newscast and Radio Show. My name again is J.D. Williams, and joining me there from the Dallas area, Mr. T.L. Terry Farley. Terry, we're just going to keep rocking. We got a lot of ground to cover here, and so that's exactly what we are going to do. Let me get everything situated here. We were talking about Isaiah 17. Verses 12 through 14. Is there anything in there that you wanted to go over again? I'll put it back up on your own screen real quick, just in case.
Well, I especially like the last verse where it talks about this is the portion of those who loot us, the lot of those who plunder us. My goodness, this is the Lord has allowed Israel to issue this challenge and this threat to the world. As a prophecy, yeah. This is what's going to happen.
Yeah, and whether or not you're looking in Isaiah or you're looking in Ezekiel, plunder is a word that keeps coming back up. You know, in other words, they're going into Israel to get something of value. Is basically what he's talking about. Okay, I want to put this one up on screen real quick. The following nations and their modern geographical equivalents are the same ones that are named in Psalm 83. Edomites, that's Jordan, parts of the West Bank. Ishmaelites, the Arabian people. Moabites, Jordan, parts of the West Bank. Hagarites, and again, please excuse me if I mispronounce this. Don't hold the whole thing because I'm not a Bible scholar, okay? I haven't been to Bible school. I do the best I can with pronunciations. Hagarites, Jordan, again, the Arabian people. Gibeonites is Lebanon. Mm-hmm. Ammonites is Jordan. Amalekites, southern Israel and Gaza. Philistia is Gaza. Tyre is Lebanon. Assyria is Syria and parts of Turkey and Iraq. And of course, you've got the descendants of Lot. And also that equals out into Jordan. And again, now we covered a whole lot of that in earlier shows. And remember, you can always find that. Just go to www.lastchristian.net. You'll be able to find that. You can find us on YouTube. You can find us on social media. You can find us on podcast platforms. If you look for it, you'll find it. And the information that we provide for you is a direct translation from what's in the Bible. Okay. Next thing up here, is, okay, we got, just went over this stuff. Okay, so let's move on to the next one here. Now, these invaders joined forces to destroy the very memory of Israel's existence. In other words, they don't want even it to be mentioned in history books. Okay,
so it
shouldn't come to pass or as a surprise to learn that both Isaiah 17 and Psalm 83 describe invaders who seek to destroy Israel. That's Isaiah 17 and Psalm 83, verses 3 through 5 and verse 12. Now, nevertheless, you can be sure that the enemies of Israel will fail miserably. In fact, the psalmist says, "Oh my God, make them like the whirling dust, like the chaff before the wind." That's Psalm 83:13. This is the same way that God repels the invaders in Isaiah 17, where it says, "Be chased like the chaff of the mountains before the wind, like a rolling thing before the whirlwind." Isaiah 17:13. Terry, comments on this part?
I love it when God inspires the word to complement itself. So, you know, that, folks, this is one of the reasons we believe the Bible. You
right.
know, how could that happen like this, where it's just so fitly framed together,
right,
as the Bible says?
Right. Amen. Amen. Okay. Let's see here. Well, I keep going back to the same one for some reason. Don't know why. Okay. All right. Anyway, Israel wins. By dawn, its enemies are dead. That's Isaiah 17:14. Think about that for a second. This war is ended by dawn of the day before it starts. I mean, that's pretty incredible. Okay. God once again delivers Israel from certain destruction, eliminating many of the immediate security threats that Israel faces. Now, could this lead to the peace described in Ezekiel 38:11? Okay, only time will tell, but I don't think that we're going to have to wait all that long. Now, we've talked about this peace and security thing a couple of times.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, we both have a different understanding of Bible scripture. Again, not a salvation issue. So anybody that wants to get excited out there, oh, they're disagreeing. Well, yeah, we're disagreeing on a little bit of a scripture there. But I'll tell you this, we're both saved. We both believe in Jesus Christ. We both accepted Jesus Christ, our personal Savior. And we're both going to get raptured when the rapture comes. Okay? So
yeah,
if you want to get on board with us, you better get on the stick. Yeah, go ahead.
That's right. Let me throw this in. Folks, you've got to understand, yeah, he has a position. I have a position, but folks, both of us believe the word of God.
Right.
We may not get everything right. We may get our eggs scrambled, but the fact is we both love eggs. So
yeah, we both love the Bible, that's for sure. But yeah, you're right. I love
that's
eggs too.
Dang.
Okay. All right. So moving right on along here. Again, we got a lot of ground to cover. You look here at Isaiah 17:14. It said, "Then behold, at eventide trouble, and before the morning, he is no more. This is the portion of those who plunder us, and the lot of those who rob us." So this is that supporting scripture about what we just talked about, Terry. You have any additional comment on this one?
I love the fact that he puts it into a time sequence so that we can actually see it going through that period. I love that. Because he doesn't always do that. There are a lot of times when he says it's going to happen, but you don't get any kind of hint as to how or when
right.
or why. But
right.
this describes it to the team.
Yeah, in detail. Yeah, and very, very specific. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on here. Today, it's not difficult to envision the scenarios that are outlined in Isaiah 17 and Psalm 83. Syria is known to house chemical weapons, including the highly lethal, what is that, VX, and you were in the army, Terry, so you can fill us in on that in a minute, but also they have the sarin gases. So what if military actions result in the use of these weapons against Israel? Or what if the Assad regime feels its only option for survival is to draw Israel into a holy war with all the factions involved? In Syria, civil war is going on there right now. It's not difficult to imagine a scenario where war crosses the border into Israel. I agree with that one 100%. How about you, Terry?
Yeah, absolutely. I just wanted to throw in also, when it talks about the gases, the lethal VX and the sarin gases, we've got to remember they outlawed gases at the end of World War I.
Yeah.
So much for that.
Well, you know,
and it was terrible then. It'll be even worse now.
Yeah. Well, so, you know, all this stuff is only as valid as what you want it to be. You know, unfortunately, when all these countries make up, you know, what they're going to do or what they're not going to allow, they all sign off on it until they need it. And then when they need it, then they forget they signed off on it. You know, we've got some examples of that in present day. Okay.
Yes.
Now, make no mistake, if Israel is attacked and the weapons of mass destruction, its response will be swift and devastating. I completely agree with that. And I spoke about this in the last show. I said, you know, I believe that this is exactly what's going to happen. But anyway, we'll get into that more. Now, Israel is armed with nuclear weapons. That they've never disclosed that. They've never, I mean, I think one, I'll take this down here for just a second. I think that there was one official who was a past member of the Knesset who said something about nuclear weapons, and it was in a tweet or a Facebook post or something. You know, it was on social media in some way, shape, or form, and it was taken down within minutes. You know, they didn't want that disclosed. Israel has never, as a country, officially, they have never said that they have nuclear weapons. But it's known to the world that they got them. Okay, and I'm saying that they're not going to be afraid to use them. Again, Israel is armed with nuclear weapons, and if its survival is put in question, it will not hesitate to use them. So, could this be what eventually destroys Damascus? Okay, Terry, I kind of went out on the limb, and I said I believe that they were. I didn't say that they were going to use nuclear weapons. I thought that Israel was going to be involved in it. Now, you know, maybe a strike. Just, you know, people say, well, how could they do it otherwise? Just as put this in real quick. What if a strike by the Israeli military on Damascus just happens to hit something that set off a nuclear weapon? Mm-hmm. Okay, or you know, set off something that made it a completely destroyed Damascus, made it desolate. I mean, I see that as a possibility there as well. Mm-hmm. Do you have any comment on it? You may not want to take a side on this. I don't know. We haven't talked about it before.
I'll tell you what keeps stirring in my is, you know, the description of the animals, the wild animals living there, that only they will be able to live there and so forth. Mm-hmm. If it's a nuclear strike, And God has the ability to not only look at something happening overnight, but he has the ability to look way down the road. So does that, the animals there and no one else can live there, does that indicate a nuclear weapon? And so that eventually, finally, life comes back, but it's just wild animals and so forth. Mm-hmm. I mean, is that what the Lord is revealing there in very subtle terms? We don't know, but you know, it's whatever it is going to be, it's not going to be good. So,
yeah. Well, you know, when it comes to the animal thing, there's a couple of ways to look at that. You know, and one of them is that when it comes to human beings, governments are aware of things that will cause death. I'll point to, for instance, Chernobyl in Russia, where you had the nuclear plant meltdown. Now that still is uninhabitable by people. Yeah. I mean, they can now go in there with protective gear and all that kind of stuff, but there's a certain amount of time that you're allowed to stay before you come out, before you have to come out, or you know the environment there could kill you. Mm-hmm. Well, animals have no such media reporting, and they have no such information given to them. They don't have a TV station to listen to. They don't have radio. They're animals, okay? Mm-hmm. So even though humans don't go there, it's mm-hmm. very possible and mm-hmm. easy to imagine animals of all shapes and sizes going into an area that is now uninhabited and setting up shop, because grass is going to start growing again, right? There's nothing to prevent that. I mean, as far as I know, the nuclear fallout or whatever doesn't really have an impact on that. But you look like you've got a comment. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, you triggered it with the grass, because the reality is there are places, as we remember from the verses we read, where it says not only are the animals there, there will be places where they will lay down. So they're going to get comfortable. They're going to hunker down. And, you know, is that an extended time later when it finally, we don't know, but that's interesting. Those points are worthy of consideration.
Right. I 100% agree with that. Okay. Let's move on to this one. You know, today, most of the enemies of Israel reside in the very places that are named in Psalm 83. That's Gaza, where Hamas, you know, is a terrorist organization, and they're there in Gaza. The West Bank and Jordan. Again, you've got the Palestinians that are located in those areas, and we know. About the conflicts between the state of Israel and the Palestinians, who want a state of their own and also mm-hmm. want control of Jerusalem, at least half of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then you've got Lebanon, which is Hezbollah, and Hezbollah mm-hmm. is another terrorist organization dedicated exclusively to the elimination of Israel. And then you have Syria, and again, Damascus, the city that the Bible says will be left completely desolate. And of course, now the Assad regime is still in charge, or at least they think they are, in Syria, right? So conditions seem to be ripe for the fulfillment of the Isaiah 17 and Psalm 83 prophecies. So this would set the table for, there it is, Terry, the rapture of the church and the tribulation. In such times, we should keep our eyes on Jesus and preach the gospel of Christ to all who will listen, because the hour is late and he's coming soon. Now, I want to point there to the second paragraph of what I have on screen for everybody there, where it's talking about this would set the table for the rapture of the church. After I put that in there, I said, I shouldn't have put that in there, because what that seems to indicate is that the rapture happens after this event. And I want to make it, I want to make it clear. And Terry, you've done a lot of research on this topic. As a matter of fact, we're going to spend a great deal of the show going forward talking about that. But the rapture can happen at any time. Everything.
Amen.
Everything that needs to be done, that that the Bible says has to happen, has been done. I mean, it's all, you know, so that means that, that God, and I hate to use this term, but I will, when God pulls the trigger on this, it's done, okay? And he can do that at any time, because everything that has been needed to happen has happened. Now, Terry, this is very unusual, because normally I give you a heads up when I'm going to do something like this, and I didn't.
Okay.
What I'm going to do, what I'm asking of Terry, is something that's going to make him jump up and down with joy. And that is, Terry, we're going to talk about the rapture of the church. We're going to talk about blast off or PMO. We're going to tell people where they can get that book. And here's the deal. I strongly encourage people to go out and get Terry's book, which is entitled Blast Off for PMOR. Right now, it is in edition 5. Edition 6 is coming. I don't want you to wait on edition 6. Do I want you to buy it too? Absolutely, because there's going to be some stuff in there that isn't included in Edition 5. But I don't want you to delay a second, especially if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Because if you go to Terry's book, if you go there, it's going to point you to exact scripture where you can read for yourself what he's talking about. But Terry, sir, the floor is yours. I'm giving you this time to talk about the rapture of the church in as much detail as you would like. You've got basically 9 minutes to talk about this. It is yours, and I'm giving it to you right now.
Okay. First of all, I want to throw in, folks, that Edition 6, there's not a lot of additional new writing. There's some corrections and updating, whatever. But the reason for Edition 6, and it may not be final, we don't know. But the point is, you're going to find a lot of added verses at the end of various statements, paragraphs, whatever. And you know, don't just pass over them. I've got a Bible. I know many of you have Bibles. And you'll go along and you'll find a Bible verse. And at the end of the verse, there will be other verses just noted at the end of that passage or that paragraph, whatever. This is when you start doing your research. This is when you start digging in. You can say, make a statement, I believe this, that, or the other thing. But that's all you're doing. You're making a statement. But what happens when you have it written down, you have it, a quotation from the Bible, and then on top of that, you've got more. You don't have less, you have more. Amen. And so it keeps going. That's why Joel and I love so much going into these scriptures, going into these passages. And the thing is, God led me to be focused on the rapture. You may get into the Bible. You could even get into my book or listening to this program, and something strikes a nerve, and you say, now that's something I would like to know about.
Right.
Folks, the field is wide open. Please join us. Get into it. And it's going to bless you yourself. It's going to bless the people around you and those that you're talking, both those who are saying, what in the world is going on, and those who are studying and have some more idea. So that's what you want to do. You want to go into those things. Now, going back to the rapture, the Lord blessed me to meet a guy by the name of David Paxton, who has a podcast in New York. And the reason we got to know each other is I was talking about how fast the rapture is going to be. I always talk about the in a moment, the twinkling of an eye, and the moment actually is more clearly translated Adam. A-T-O-M, Adam. And so it says, in an atom, in the twinkling of an eye. Well, they've already established that the twinkling of an eye is actually 11/100 of a second. Scientists from General Electric determined that, the twinkling of an eye, 11/100 of a second. So the atom reference is the smallest particle in the universe. So I just immediately assumed numerically that there would be a lot of atoms inside 1100 seconds. That's how bad my mathematics and understanding is. But I was going with what I knew, what I understood, and I was talking about, I didn't know which atom Jesus' shout was going to land on, but that's how fast. And this is the reason when you talk about the rapture and people get into conferences and they visit and they talk, Joel and I continue to dig into the scriptures. You get into a specific prophecy, as an example, the rapture, and you begin to understand as you go deeper and deeper how fast this this event is going to take place. And so you basically reach the point where you say, you know what, I give up. I don't have time to tell anybody, because by the time I get done telling them, it could happen, and, you know.
Let me jump in real quick. It is going to be quick. It is going to be quick. And it's going to be something that a lot of people are not going to be even slightly prepared for, Terry.
Exactly.
No matter what we try, you know. And I don't know. I continually hope that somebody out there is reached by this message.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that they understand that indeed time is very, 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 very short. Let me put this up on screen real quick. I really wasn't planning to do this, but I think I will. Because this really gets into it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is Matthew 24, verses 43-44. And Terry, I know it's near and dear to your heart. If you would read that for me, please.
Absolutely. Then two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and the other left. Watch, therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Starting with that last statement about be ready, this is helping us with many, many other verses that you discover in the Gospels and elsewhere in the New Testament and even in the Old Testament. Be ready, because it's going to be what is called the use of the word, you've heard it used, imminent. Imminent means any moment, any moment. It's going to happen. And therefore, and Jesus says in Mark 13, what I say unto all, or what I say unto you, he's speaking to the disciples, what I'm saying unto you, he said, I say unto all, watch.
Watch. Watch.
It's in the present tense. Now, just in case somebody starts getting scared and like nervous, and the opposite effect is supposed to happen. Paul said, comfort one another with these words. Strengthen one another. So in other words, Jesus said, occupy until I come. We have a show. It lasts an hour, and then we're done. You know, you go on with your day. You go on in your mind and in your heart. You're saying this could be the day.
Right.
And if it's not, you're not disappointed, because God's timing is perfect. So what do you get up? It's get time. The sun's coming up. It's time to get up again. There's even a gospel song says that it's time to praise the Lord again. And just take it one day at a time. Be still. Don't worry about anything. Know that. And people, you know, that's what Jesus said, take no thought for tomorrow. Part of that was when he was talking about people planning about how much money they're going to make and where they're going to work and what kind of clothes they're going to wear. And that's all they're thinking. They're just caught up in that. Oh, I went here and I'm going to go there. And, you know, it's funny how people talk about, I'm going to go here and I've just been there. And you're saying, well, did you take time in any of those places? Are you going to take, you know, you're just running 100 miles an hour, you know? And so this is where we understand, get yourself focused, be still in God. Look to him. Now, we can talk about this all through the show. We're going to run out of time here in a moment.
Yep.
That's what books are for. You're not rushed. You don't. You can read something. It can catch your interest. You can go back. Wait a minute. What did that say? Here's a verse. Let me look this verse up. These are the things. That's what gives Joel and I strength and purpose and reason to come on and do the show.
Right.
Because we've got the support of the Word of God.
Absolutely.
Get that in you. You know. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, you're fine.
Okay.
I was just going to remind people, please search T.L. Farley Books using your favorite search engine there. You'll be able to find Terry's books. He's got three of them out there right now, including that one that you see on screen, Blast Off, Repeamore. But he's also got a couple others. One of them is Distant Reaches, and the other one was actually his first book, which is called When Now Becomes Too Late, which is also on the rapture of the church. So I do strongly encourage everybody to take a look at that. Now, there's a lot of stuff going on in the world, and it's all to try to get your attention and take your attention away from what's really important here, okay?
Yeah.
Again, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ, we urge you to do so. Now, you know, in the next show, we're going to be away from this topic, but we're going to, in a way, it's the same, but in a way, it's not, because what we're going to be talking about is we're going to go to Genesis 6. And we're going to show you what the Lord was talking about as in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. We're going to get into that topic next week in a series of shows. And I have no idea if it'll be a one-show deal, one-off, or if it's going to be like this one was and be a short series. But we're going to get into it because it's important. The Lord is coming. Time is running out. Not trying to scare you. I'm trying to encourage you to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If we're given another day to broadcast, we'll be back next time with another edition of the Last Christian Newscast and Radio.
Thanks again for joining us today for the Last Christian Radio Show. And be sure to tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday right here and at www.lastchristian.net. Until the trumpet sounds.